And here we are. We are now joined by Bubba Wallace, driver of the number 43 Victory Junction Chevrolet for Richard Petty Motorsports. I know we have a lot of questions for you this afternoon, Bubba, so we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Hey, Bubba, thanks for taking the time. I wanted to check on something. Some other drivers said when you got out of the car on Monday, you said something like, I know half of you don't like me and I don't like you, or something like that. Can you kind of explain what you said, and maybe why have you had friction with some drivers in the past?
That's just my sarcastic side coming out. I was like, I don't like half you guys, but I appreciate all you guys, as a joking way. So there's no other need to follow along with that story.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question will come from Ethan Sachs from NBC News. Go ahead with your question, Ethan.
Okay, first of all, thanks a lot for taking the time. I know, you know, with the race and everything, it's a distraction, so it is appreciated. I do want to ask you, because the last few weeks, you've sort of had all these extra distractions, but also, you know, been sort of looked on as a spokesperson, as a symbol, and with all that extra responsibility that goes with it. And I'm just wondering how you are personally navigating that and finding that.
It's just another day. The clock resets midnight every night, and we'll go through whatever is on the schedule then, and just excited to get back in the race car come tomorrow, but still got media in between then and now, so we'll see.
Our next question will come from Dan Gelston with the Associated Press. Go ahead, Dan.
Bubba, have you found you know, you ran over to the fence on Monday, and there was, you know, a group of black fans who were there to greet you, and it seemed like they came just to see you. Have you found this? I know it's only been a short time since the Confederate flag issue has come up with you, but I mean, have you found more black fans, more people who seem interested or telling you that they're interested in NASCAR that weren't before?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, just from the following standpoint, it's been pretty big. I think I was at, before all of the chaos and madness started a couple weeks ago, Atlanta and Martinsville and now this, I think I was like at 180,000 followers on Instagram, and now I'm at 450, something like that, maybe more. I don't really know, but a lot of people of color are coming out and saying that they're going to be watching for the first time and have been watching since. So yeah, I think there's a huge following that we will see, and I'm excited to know that, or excited to see when the racing whole schedule kind of gets back to normal from COVID to allow fans to come back in full capacity and see a new face there. That was pretty damn cool to see that crowd there at Talladega with all the support. So we'll see. We'll see how it continues to grow.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Simone Stanley. Go ahead with your question, Simone.
Hey, Bubba. I wanted to ask you, who has inspired you to be a leader in change? And can we expect to see any new cool cars from you, like the Black Lives Matter one?
Who's inspired me? I don't know if anybody's inspired me. I think it's just what I feel in my heart, what I feel is right, and finally voicing my opinion on the tough subjects that a lot of people are afraid to touch on. I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I've done it and got in trouble and learned from it. And so people that know me, I'm 100% raw and real. I told you that before as well. And as far as another paint scheme, I'm not sure, you know. Yeah, that was an unsponsored race where we paid out of pocket for that one. Mm-hmm. And basically took a bet on ourselves there, took a chance on ourselves, and that was big. So I think with all this stuff, we're starting to get some partners involved, and who knows if we'll have another unsponsored race this year. If so, then we'll see what we can do.
And Bubba, I quick follow-up if I may. With you know, with everything that you've been doing, it's very impressive. Are you having, you know, when you actually step into the race car, are you having to like kind of flip a switch to like change your mind over, like, okay, now it's race time, I have to go into a different mode, or are you able to stay focused actually during the race, you know, with everything that's been going on?
Hell, I've always said there's that concrete wall around the racetrack. You don't want to hit that. And I've hit this wall pretty hard that we're going through this weekend. So I know what that feels like. But you know, through it all, we gotta have good finishes. We gotta have a good season, and we're still continuing to have that. We're running top 15 almost every weekend, so it's about 7 to 10 spots better than where we were last year. So I can't let anything else tear me away from that, from the momentum we've been having. So I'm not gonna let anything else take that away from us. So, it's as tough as it may be, and it's quite easy for me to climb in and get away from all the chaos.
Thank you, Bubba. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Charlotte McBride. Go ahead with your question, Charlotte.
Bubba, you mentioned the outpouring of support from fans, but I want to talk about your colleagues, because I'm sure you've heard so many things from them this week. Anything that really sticks with you, maybe another driver that you didn't expect to have your back when they all did, as you were sarcastic earlier in saying that. But any words that kind of really stuck with you and will stick with you?
No, I think it was good to see everybody out there, and I appreciate their support. You know, I guess two people that stuck out was Eric Almirola sent a nice text right before all that on Monday, you know, saying how we're not friends and we don't act like we are, but we're going to stand next to each other. He'll be proud to stand next to me as a brother, and being human beings. And I thought that was pretty special, because him and I, we don't click at all very well, and we'll both tell you that. And Alex Bowman coming up, you know, he said, you know, we don't see the eye to eye on everything, but he stands behind me 100%, something along those lines like that. And I thought that was pretty cool. I've always had respect for Alex, but we've definitely butted heads and we've lost respect at times for each other, but it shows that we can all come together. But Jimmy Johnson's been the guy at the top of the list the whole time. He texted me Monday, texted me Tuesday after all the chaos has been going on, just checking on me. So it's been good to have him in my corner there for sure.
Just a quick follow-up on that. You don't seem like a real emotional guy. Do you get emotional when some of these guys, you know, do have your back and all, seeing everyone and everything that happened this week?
I mean, I think the videos and pictures can answer that for you. Yeah, I think when you go through a lot and whatnot, I mask a lot of things. I hold a lot of things in, and it comes out at times like that. So yeah.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Lauren Walsh. Go ahead with your question, Lauren.
Hey, Bubba. Thanks for the time this afternoon. How would you describe this heightened role and platform you have, where you've kind of gone from Cup Series driver to Cup Series driver and very visible social activist and an advocate for social justice?
Yeah. Hey, it's just another life, another day in the life of Bubba Wallace, really. You never know what to expect, and it's not like I wanted to be in this position or asked to be in this position. It just kind of happened. Just something that, you know, I seen the Ahmaud Arbery video. I keep going back to that, of how that changed something inside of me to be more vocal and to stand up and help people who feel like they don't have a voice and don't have a platform to speak out on how they feel, and mainly the African American community. You know, they've been crying out for a really long time and nothing's really changed. So I think right now, me encouraging others, my colleagues and my competitors and my, you know, team, whoever it may be around me, I may have an influence on, encourage them to step out and or speak up and step out. So, yeah, it just kind of all happened. And I'm proud of it.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead with the question, Jeff.
Yeah, Bubba, you say, you know, it's just another day in the life, but at the same time, you've never been through anything like you were this week, where you're in like this firestorm of, you know, the memes coming from you know, people all over the place, and just the accusations of hoax and all this stuff. And you're out there trying to tell your story, and it seems like no matter what you say, there's going to be this group of people who are just going to, you know, keep piling on. So, you know, how do you get through that as just on a human level? How do you deal with it?
You stay off social media as much as you can. And knowing Corey LaJoy texted me yesterday asking if I was all good. I said, every time you stand behind the truth, you're always good. So I know people are going to try to knock me and debunk me off the throne, the pedestal that I'm on, the same pedestal that I've been on for 16, 17 years now, since I started. So I'm fine with it. It's fine. I love to get out and compete and have really good runs. And that, it's just motivation, Jeff, to go out and to have really good races. We'll never shut them up. That's just, they're afraid of themselves. They're afraid of change. Sometimes those are the people that you can't help throughout all the chaos going on in the world. Those are the ones that need the most help, but you quickly realize they don't give a damn about you, and I don't give a damn about them.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Daryl Kinsey Jr. Go ahead with your question, Daryl.
Bubba, thank you for joining us. And I know in the grand scheme of things, the race this weekend is kind of minor with everything you've gone through, but looking forward to Pocono. We had the PJ1 applied last year. A lot of drivers didn't use it. Do you think more drivers will venture up there and try to use it during the two races this weekend?
Yeah, I forgot about that. It was there last year. I think it was kind of far off the way it was, the areas it was applicated. It was pretty far off, and I think that's why we didn't use it. So, so I get to the track tonight, I'll rewatch the race and get a for sure idea. Sorry, guys, got me. Had a phone call come
through. Yep, we got you.
So yeah, I think that was the reason why we didn't use it as much, but we'll see when we get there.
And you said earlier the team has had some consistent top 15 finishes this year. What has been the main catalyst with the sudden uptick in performance?
It's just, resources have been good. They've been coming in steadily and helping us out. The alliance with RCR has been good. Chevrolet, new body this year, has been good. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. Jerry Baxter's been doing a hell of a job being a leader of our team, calling great races, taking chances, staying out when others pit to capitalize on some really late finishes, good finishes there. So there's a lot of key factors. So just everybody in the collaborative group that helps support our program together.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with your question, Lee.
Thank you. And Bubba, thank you for what you've been doing, because I would say the last time we've had somebody who had this much pressure on them was Dale Jr. after 2001. And on that note, I'm just curious, have you talked to him about what it feels like to have the weight of the sport on your shoulders? And because honestly, he's really the only other person that has been in your shoes from this standpoint in NASCAR.
No, I haven't talked to him about that. And, you know, I guess I don't see it as the weight of the sport on my shoulders. I guess I haven't had time to think about it, honestly. I've been so damn busy sitting right here in this setting to think about that and to reach out to feel that. I haven't felt the pressure yet. And I don't know if that's just me masking it, but no, I haven't talked to him.
And I saw your dad this morning on CBS, the morning show, and kind of curious about, you know, given the fact that he is white, when you, and I assume at some point during your life, you were given the talk, and wondering who that came from in your side of the family.
The talk, where are you getting at?
Just as far as the talk about, you know, the talk, I guess is what I've always heard it referred to.
The talk, you got the birds and the bees talk, you got whatever talk you're talking about. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Don't be afraid to say it.
Well, I'm saying from the standpoint of a lot of young African men and women, when they leave the house, they have to, you know, there are outside factors that affect them that I would have absolutely no idea about.
Yeah, no, I honestly, you could have been talking about having sex for the first time. I didn't freaking know what you're talking about. Yeah, no, we'd never had that conversation just because we've always went at it as treat equal with respect and fairness and that's how it was in our family. You know, I had the best of both worlds. We always said I had my dad's side and my mom's side. And so, you know, I didn't, when I was outside, I didn't worry about being treated differently than others. I just lived life to the fullest. I lived life how I wanted to live life. And I went through those things on my own, discrimination and stuff. And it's part of it. You learn from it.
Appreciate your candidness. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jason Brown. Go with your question, Jason.
Thank you, Matt and Bubba. Thank you for continuing to take the time. Part of your message has always been growing the sport. You talk a lot about inclusion. Yesterday, Brad Doherty talked about what type of inclusion he felt growing up as a race fan and then getting into the sport as a race owner. If you could sort of elaborate on what level of inclusion you felt as a fan growing up of racing and then now becoming a driver.
I didn't. Growing up, I didn't even watch NASCAR. I didn't even, you know, even when I was racing, I didn't pay much attention to it. It was on, but I was outside playing with friends and doing whatever. And at the racetrack, I didn't feel like I wasn't wanted there unless we were winning each and every week, and we started doing that once we got better and better. But as far as inclusion, I was too young to understand it. If we went through anything that would shine us away. And by the time I got to NASCAR, I was a driver. So it was the next race on the schedule. We would be with the NASCAR team. So I always felt welcomed.
Thanks, Bubba. Good luck to you this weekend. We're pulling for it.
Appreciate it.
Our next question will come from Cameron Richardson. Go ahead with your question, Cameron.
Thank you for the time, Bubba. After what has transpired over the last week and since NASCAR's support of Black Lives Matter at Atlanta, what are the next steps NASCAR can take to ensure inclusion for the long term instead of this being a short-term trend?
Yeah, I think we just have to get out in our communities. And we've created a group of us, key leadership at NASCAR and some key drivers to be a part of how we can put action to our words that we've been speaking and spreading the gospel. But I think it's tough right now. With everything that's going on with COVID, and sounds like lockdowns are coming back into place and whatever. So, you know, seeing people face to face and talking to them and telling them about NASCAR and educating them on NASCAR and how we're making changes and how we want people to come out. You know, that's tough. So it goes back to our great partner at Worldwide Technology of being able to set up something and using technology to talk to people virtually like we are now, to get out there and help those efforts until we can get back to a normal place to where we can get in the communities and be able to raise more awareness.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Ashley Strohline. Go ahead with your question, Ashley.
Hey, Bubba, I'm just curious, now that you've had a few days to reflect on what the FBI did find, with it not being a hate crime, do you agree with that? And also, now that NASCAR has released the photo for everybody to see, your thoughts on what's in that picture?
Yeah, whether it was tied sometime throughout 2019, the fall race there, you know, someone did it with whatever intent they had. We weren't in that garage stall at that time, so we can't say it was directed towards me, which is good. It wasn't directed towards me or my family. But somebody still knows how to tie a noose and whether they did it as a bad joke or not, who knows, but it was good for the public to see. It still won't change most or some people's mind of me being a hoax, but it is what it is.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Gary Gastelou. Go ahead with your question, Gary.
Hey, Bubba, Steve Phelps said he wished he would have handled this a little differently with less emotion, maybe refer to it as an alleged noose or an alleged heinous act. Have you talked to him about that and what it might be, how things might be done moving forward with this sort of thing?
He said he wanted me to act differently?
No, he said he would have, he wished he had done it with less emotion.
Okay, I thought you said me. Going to correct you there. Yeah, I mean, we're in a crucial time in the world right now. And you see what's going on outside of the sport and the way we reacted to it, the way it was brought to my attention, I thought it was done the right way. Worded it differently, sure. But can't let that slip up and be just, might be a mistake. I would encourage them to do the same thing over and over again. You know, I try to do my research behind the scenes with my guys to make sure it wasn't a garage pool. And you've seen the numbers, how many garage stalls they inspected, and 11 had knots and only one had a noose.
Our next question will come from Josh Sims. Go ahead with your question, Josh.
Hey, Bubba, I appreciate the time this morning or afternoon. Obviously, they're banning the Confederate flag within the racetracks, but before the race, I'm sure you saw the video of the flags outside the track and the one flying over the track that said defund NASCAR. Is there anything else that can be done to kind of stop this from continuing to happen?
It's their right to be for peaceful protests, my man. So it's part of it, but you won't see them inside the racetracks where we're having a good time with the new fans that have purchased their tickets, purchased their drivers, their favorite driver's apparel. You won't see it flying in there. Outside, they're just going to be making a lot of noise. You know, it's part of it. It's exactly what you see on the flip side of everything going on in cities as they peacefully protest. But you won't see cops pepper spraying them and shooting them with rubber bullets, will you?
Our next question will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead with the question, Dustin.
Bubba, with being outspoken, and you've talked about this, about the pushback and from others, and I'm curious from your point of view of speaking up, becoming a leader, for those who follow you and for those who may want to feel like, want to be as strong as you and speak up, but are afraid of the pushback and put in of all the things on social media, of a racetrack owner in North Carolina saying he's selling Bubba rope this week and things like that. How do you advise somebody? Because there's certainly, I would seem like it would take a very, you have to be very strong, and how do you help somebody get to that point where they can be at a level like you and be outspoken and put those things aside or learn to turn off the white noise if that's even possible?
Yeah, you just got to be mentally strong. And where I've gotten my strength from, couldn't tell you. Because I do read into it and I do get pissed off. And part of my emotion today is one, being wore the hell out. And two is being a little frustrated. And three is just finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm probably a fool for thinking that because it's 2020 and something else will happen probably tomorrow and I'll be right back where we are. So, yeah, it's, you know, you're put on a pedestal. Athletes are put on a pedestal and there's not a manual. There's not a guidebook to tell you how to handle yourself off the courts, off the racetrack, off the fields, but it's all something you learn. And you go through the trials and tribulations to grow from those incidents. And I think that's what makes you tougher throughout. You know, nobody can, the people that are sitting on the couch that have never done anything to their lives to be able to amount to something. And they are jealous of your lifestyle. They're just trying to throw hate and spew hate. And that's unfortunate, but you just have to think, like, you're living in your own life. You don't have time to worry about other people's lives. So you shouldn't let them dictate how you live your life. Live life to the fullest.
How much of an influence can you be? And how important of a role can you play to further? Obviously, there's a lot of people that have stood up, but even helping those who maybe are a little bit of fearful of it and can see what you've done.
I don't need to go out of my way. I've never gone out of my way to do anything. I've been right here this whole time talking about what's going on in the world, and it's just easier for me to talk on it because I can relate to it. We struggle with things we can't relate to. If it doesn't affect you directly or indirectly, then you don't want to touch it. We're in a sport where money drives our careers. Sponsors, they don't want you to touch it. And, you know, I say this with the utmost respect, but ever since I've been speaking out, I haven't been thinking about my sponsors. I've been thinking about me being a human being and standing up for what's right. And I hope that sponsors would see that and back me up on that. You know, we've had some sponsor drama this year that I'm quite frankly glad I'm not a part of anymore, because they wouldn't stand up for what's going on right now. So it's you just speak what's on your mind. You know, do your research, educate yourself, and move on from that.
Thank you.
We have time for only one more question, and that question will go to Greg Moore. Go ahead with your question, Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that, Matt. Bubba, Greg Moore, USA Today Network, Arizona Republic. We met in Phoenix. I asked you about lug nuts. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but you said that you wore the hell out and you're a little bit frustrated. I'm curious what you would like us to start focusing on now in order for you to be able to put this behind you so that you can start racing again.
Don't matter. I ain't gonna listen to your shit. Focus on racing. Damn, it's easy as that. That's a good question. Appreciate the laugh there. No disrespect, but let's focus on racing. Let's focus on how we can continue to push the message of love, compassion, understanding. Let's help fight the good fight in what's going on in the world today. Let's get fans, new fans, out to the racetrack and encourage our fan base now to welcome them with open arms and show them a good time. I think that's one important piece that we can focus on right now. Let's get away from what happened at Talladega. Let's move on from that. Let's put it to bed. Let me go out and have some good races, have some bad races, try to figure out what the hell we're going to do to rebound from those bad races and get back into the race car life. You know, as much as it's tough for me to balance both the human being side and the racing side, it's part of it, and I accepted that. But, yeah, we'll just continue to move on, push the narrative on let's go back a couple weeks ago and how we can implement our ways to help bring new faces in, help bring more diversity, inclusion, make everybody feel welcome. And, yeah, that's about it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Bubba, really appreciate you taking a half hour out of your day to join us today. And good luck this weekend. Two races at Pocono. Rest up and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Appreciate you. Take care now.
Thanks, Bubba.
Thank you so much, Bubba. Good luck.
Thanks. Thank you.